the most trusted and longest-running sports talk show in Tennessee. From the Budweiser studios of Cumulus Broadcasting, this is Sports Talk with John Wilkerson and Jimmy Hines on Sports Radio WNML.
Welcome back to the third hour of Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Hines along with Vince Ferrar. Update on the Preds score. They lead the Coyotes 4-1 with less than a minute left. So the Preds will get a win to even that series at 1-1. Pleased now to be joined by Mike Keith, Director of Broadcasting, Play-by-Play Announcer, Tennessee Titans. Mike, how are you?
I'm fine, Jimmy Hines. How you doing?
I'm doing fantastic. Thank you so much for joining us. I really appreciate that every week that you take the time to visit with us.
It's my pleasure. Thanks for having me.
We have seen a number of players opt out with the NFL. The deadline has been set for Thursday at 4 p.m. By my count, we're just a little bit short of 50 that have opted out. Do you think we will see a lot more that make a decision between now and Thursday at 4? Do you think most have already declared?
That's a $64,000 question, or I guess you should say it's either a $150,000 or $350,000 question, according to what their opt-out amount would be. But in all seriousness, I think there are a lot of guys at this moment who are considering it. And I think it has to do – it seems like there are two specific areas, Jimmy. One, it's players who have – children on the way or have babies. You know, they have mm-hmm. little ones, so to speak. And then the other side of it seems to be a lot of the bigger guys with the body mass index of over 28, because that puts you in the high risk zone. And so, you know, a lot of offensive and defensive linemen, and then a lot of guys who either have children on the way or have small children and are just nervous about it. When you listen to most of the people with talk about it, their rationale is solid. I mean, it's not just people saying, "Hey, I'm afraid," which would certainly be within everyone's rights. I'm in no way being critical, but it's clearly something that all of these guys that I have heard, at least, have thought out pretty dramatically.
Has it really hit the Titans, though, to a much degree? Certainly nobody's been hit like New England. But so far, the Titans have done okay in that regard, right?
So far. You know, again, I don't know that we know everything yet. And I think there was a lot of it. You know, the deadline originally, Jimmy, was supposed to be August 1st. And when they did not get the addendum to the CBA signed, you know, the lawyers took forever, as lawyers are wont to do. And so they finally got the CBA fully done, my understanding, late yesterday, early today. The players were to have another week. Well, ownership said, "Hey, look, we got to know something before then, because obviously there are things that you need to do with your roster if a guy opts out." And so we're moving into the next period starting next Tuesday, or Wednesday, I should say, which is the period where we can really start practicing. So the team said, "Hey, you got to give us something here." And so they split the difference. Instead of having it be the next day or having it be a week, they said Thursday at 4:00. So now, you know, I think a lot of things are going to start to pop for a lot of guys who are thinking about it now that they know they are quite literally on the clock.
Mike, what about the reserve COVID-19 list going into today? I think the number was approaching 90. I'm sure there have been a few others added to it today. Is that a big number? Is that okay because of the guidelines that it doesn't necessarily mean that they're positive. How do you view that reserve COVID-19 list?
I think that's 100% what it is. I think what it's about at this point, it's about being able to be safe. We've had some guys go on there who have had some false positives. It sounds like that's the case with Matthew Stafford. Mm-hmm. You know, we've had some guys who clearly have been around folks who have been sick and are taking care, and then some guys who have contracted it and are having to deal with it and are having to isolate at this point. We've even had a coach, Doug Peterson, have to isolate. So, you know, that's a situation that I think is going to come up. We understand it, and everything's got to go down the right way.
Gardner Minshew, on being activated from that reserve COVID-19 list today, said, quote, "I did not contract the virus. It took one look at me and ran the other way, probably in its best interest." Another reason to like Gardner Minshew, other than when he's facing the Titans, of course.
Yeah, we're not big Gardner Minshew fans here. We choose not to laugh at his jokes because he's in our division and he beat us last year. But he's a pretty funny guy. He really is a pretty funny guy.
And on that, on last thing on that topic, you know, you mentioned Doug Peterson. It seems like part of the preparation for the season has to be for teams to have contingency plans for when anyone gets the virus, not just now, but during the season. Is that something that Mike Vrabel, any of the players, have talked about, all those scenarios that they have to cover?
Sure. I mean, absolutely. You're having to look at any eventuality. You know, some teams are already keeping their quarterbacks separate, choosing to keep quarterbacks. I think Cincinnati may be the team that has four quarterbacks on the roster, and they are meeting in separate rooms. They're meeting by Zoom, but they are all kept in separate rooms. All of those things are going to factor in. And some of the things that you would have thought were, I don't want to say ridiculous, but you would have thought, man, that's a little too much, right? You know, like the parent who wraps their kid in bubble wrap before they go out to the playground, you know. I don't think there's any of that right now. I don't think there is anything that anybody does that isn't a smart thing to do at this moment in time, to take extra precaution and to understand what you're going to have to do. You know, the league is actually going to allow, if somebody has a positive test at the last minute, they're going to allow you to call a player up from the practice squad as late as 90 minutes before the game. I mean, right at the time that you have to turn in inactive, you would be able to call a player up from the practice squad. So I think teams and the league know they're going to have to be versatile, and they're going to have to consider any eventuality.
Mike, where are those players that you would call up from the practice squad? Are they just told, hey, hang around just in case? How does that work?
I think in many cases, you know, they're talking about the practice squad's going to be 16 this year. And I think you're going to have practice squad guys travel, which is something that is not normal, Jimmy. Normally, a practice squad guy or two might travel occasionally if you're worried about, you know, somebody late on a Saturday. But I would have a feeling that teams may travel a lot of that 16-man practice squad, not knowing where this might hit.
Interesting. What do they travel on the practice squad? How many usually do that?
In most cases, none.
None. Okay. Okay.
In some cases, like David Quessenberry, who is a veteran practice squad guy, he would go along as sort of an extra set of eyes and ears for the offensive line. So he would travel some, and then again, in the case of an emergency, if you're worried about depth at a spot, you might bring one along occasionally, or it might happen late in the year as a reward for good work. But normally, just if I've been on 200 and something trips, I would say on 150 of them, there haven't been one practice squad. There has not been one practice squad yet.
The New Orleans Saints are creating a bubble. They're renting motel rooms in the New Orleans area for players and staff members that would house up to 150 people. This is optional. Mike, do you think that other NFL teams might consider doing this?
The Eagles did it with their staff, with a lot of the staff people who work with training camp. They had them isolate for an entire week before camp started, before they were to come in and be with the players. I think that is either going on now or has just gone on. So, you know, everybody's going to take different looks at it. Everybody's going to take different swings at it because the NFL is going with a tier system, Jimmy. Tier one and two. Obviously, one would be the players, two, people who work directly with the players. Three goes to people who work for the team but don't have to have direct contact with the players. And the threes cannot have any physical contact with the ones or the twos. And so that's the isolation within all of the workings that the league has set up. And then, as you mentioned, some teams are taking it even further.
Interesting. We'll have more with Mike Keith when we return. If you have a question or comment, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. Mike joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. With Vince Farrar, I'm Jimmy Heim. Sports Talk, 99.1, the Sports Animal.
We're what Willis was talking about. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Farrar. Our guest, Mike Keith of the Tennessee Titans.
Mike, I don't know if you saw the comments from Cam Jordan of the Saints, and he basically said the Bucs with Brady and Gronk are fighting for second place in the division and that Brady is the second best quarterback of all time behind Drew Brees. What do you make of them poking the Brady Bucs bear?
He's right, by the way.
Why not? but I mean, if you're him, why wouldn't you? First of all, he's not afraid of anybody. Have you seen that guy? He's a monster. I mean, he's a great player. He's a tough guy. Why wouldn't you? Why would you bow down to them? I mean, I totally get where he's coming from. Is he's trying to get his guys to step up to the challenge. You know, Brady ain't going to hit him. He's going to hit Brady. And, you know, he's confident that he's going to have a chance to do that. And what he's saying is it's on. So, I mean, he's poking a 43-year-old bear. I get that. Old bears are grumpy. Maybe Brady gets very upset and throws 9 touchdown passes. But, you know, Drew Brees might throw 10. So, because I don't have to deal with either one of them, I think it's wonderful. Go right ahead.
Hey, back to dealing with COVID-19. What is the NFL or what have you seen from the Titans in terms of technology that they're using in order to help keep the players safe?
Oh, I mean, a lot of technology. I don't think I'm at liberty to say everything that is being done. Just suffice it to say, A, our building looks vastly different with some of the things that are going on. And B, if anybody has better technology than the NFL, I want to see it. They have totally redesigned our building. It has quite a different look in terms of its setup, but also with a lot of the mechanics that are involved in the building. It's honestly, Vince, it's as good as it can be. I don't think there's anything that we're going to say is perfect. I don't think we're going to say anything is 100%, you know, safe. But I think what we can say about it is it's as good as it can be in terms of mitigating the risk. And listen, we're going to have to live with some things. We've decided to go out into this world and try to have our league. And, you know, COVID-19 is operating on its own. It's not interested in the NFL. We're going to have to fight through.
Mike, I wanted to ask you about what Jack Del Rio, Washington defensive coordinator, said about players opting out. Quote, "I have views that wouldn't sit well with my occupation," close quote. Would you interpret that comment?
Well, Jack Del Rio has had a lot of comments outside of some of the mainstream of the league for some time. So it wouldn't be new for him to step on toes with what he thinks. It's a free country, and you're allowed to say whatever you wish as long as you're, you know, not shouting fire in a crowded theater, which he's not. But the bottom line with Jack Del Rio is he's not afraid to say what he thinks. He's not afraid to upset who he upsets. And the thing about Del Rio is, I mean, I'm guessing that he doesn't think anybody ought to opt out. That's his opinion. Maybe he wouldn't have opted out when he was a player. Maybe he wouldn't have had his son opt out when his son was a player. But his views sort of don't go with what the mainstream of what's happening in the league would be right now.
In regard to Antonio Brown, so we know now that he has the 8-game suspension. Do you think he'll wind up signing with somebody?
How many teams? I think he signs with somebody. You know, there's a lot of talk about Baltimore, that Lamar Jackson is lobbying for him. And so we looked at it. After he serves the 8-game suspension, he would come back in week one for him, would be November 15th at New England, the last team that cut him. His first home game at Baltimore would be November 22nd against the Titans. So, yeah, listen, if he gets cleared, somebody's signing him. The guy can play. And if you can play, somebody is going to give you a shot. Usually it's the Raiders, but he's already been with them and it didn't work.
That's true. Odell Beckham Jr.
said that for John, even though he's not there.
Yeah. Well, hopefully he's listening. Odell Beckham Jr. said he will not opt out despite telling Wall Street Journal that I just feel like the season shouldn't happen. Do you think there are a lot of players that share that sentiment with Beckham?
Well, remember, he made those comments 2 weeks before reporting. And then after reporting, he feels differently. He has told Mary Kay Cabot, who's a longtime fabulous reporter up there, that he feels comfortable with the precautions that are there. So I think that's a little bit – I think there were a lot of guys who felt like that going in, and I think there are less guys who feel like that right now. You probably heard the comments of Patrick Mahomes and how good that he feels about everything at this point in terms of it being as safe as it can possibly be and how seriously the players are taking it, how stringent the teams are, how involved the league is. I think guys feel a lot better after having gone in and seeing how things were going to be done.
That's Mike Keith with the Tennessee Titans. When we come back, we'll have more. If you have a question or comment, 656-9900, 1-866-656-9900. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Our special guest, Mike Keith, Tennessee Titans. He joins us on the Stanley Fence and Gates Hotline.
Mike, I'm sure you've had a chance to talk to some players as they return, Tennessee Titans players as they return to the facility. I know there have been some Zoom meetings that Taylor Lewan and Ryan Tannehill and others have done. Anything jumps out in what the message of the players has been in returning and getting back into the facility to get going towards the season?
So this will surprise you. I have not had a chance to talk to any players yet because wow. I have not been able to return to the facility yet. At this point, with the tier structure and everything that's being done with the acclimation period, right now none of their work is open. Now, there have been some Zoom press conferences, some media availabilities where guys have had a chance to kind of talk about it a little bit. But tomorrow is actually going to be my first opportunity to go back in the office and work. I did get a chance to go there a couple weeks ago and get some things out of my office before the players returned. And that was my first trip back in over 4 months. But until they start practicing on the 14th, we are only going to have sort of sporadic chances to have a conversation with them. It's a weird time because normally on August the 4th, I would have already interviewed 20 guys by now. And instead, I'm just having to read their comments and watch everything from afar as we get clearance to do what we can do. I spoke today to the Clarksville Kiwanis Club by virtually, at this moment, getting out is still not a big opportunity or not something that someone is able to do who works for the team and falls under some of these protocols. It's an odd time. I mean, no other way to say it.
What do you think of this year's ESPN Monday Night Football broadcast trio of Steve Levy, Brian Griese, and Louis Riddick?
I think the choice is one. I mean, it's obviously not star-studded. Levy is a guy that most of us know, but he's not one of the biggest names ever from ESPN. Griese's a good broadcaster. I think he does a good job. He really does nice work. As a quarterback, he's certainly not as well known. He's not the best known Griese in his own family. Louis Riddick is a guy that you may not know very well, but is really well thought out, well put together in terms of connections and his thoughts on certain things. When he's one of those people, when he speaks, I listen very carefully because I know Louis Riddick knows a lot of stuff. And I know where he gets his information is from people in the know. So a lot of the things that he says turns out to be very accurate, very, very spot on. I don't know that this broadcast crew lasts beyond this year because it is not star-studded. But I think from a broadcasting standpoint, it's going to end up being really good. I think you're going to like these guys. I think you're going to say they know their stuff, and I think they're not going to get in the way of the game. And I think you're going to come away from it saying, wow, that's pretty good. But remember, they work for Disney. There's a lot of talk that Monday Night Football is headed back to ABC, and there is a lot of feeling in the broadcast industry that this is just a one-year gathering until they can get some people on the hook who are a lot bigger names. That's the current broadcast talk. I just wonder, after hearing this group for a year, if people don't say, why change?
And one other thing that to lead to what your point is, that it might be a good broadcast, Levy and Griese have worked together calling college games. So they have some existing chemistry, and then you add Lewis Riddick to that trio. So I think you're right. It could be a solid one-year filler for them.
Well, Riddick's not a big personality. You're not just going to laugh and laugh and laugh at Lewis Riddick. Brian Griese is another one who's the same way. Those two guys are just stone cold. You know, they're just bringing football. That's what they're doing. So you're not going to even get the quips and the funny banter that you get with Tony Romo. Tony Romo's not the funniest guy ever, but he clearly has a personality. This group is not going to be a big personality group. And I think that's where, you know, from the TV audience standpoint, it will not be viewed as sexy enough by some officials. But I think by people who watch football and people who are interested in the games, I think you'll really enjoy it. I think they'll do an excellent job, and, you know, we'll see. It was they certainly looked at a lot of different things. Who they wanted was Peyton Manning. The belief is that Monday Night Football needs the transcendent star power of somebody like that. And if there's a thought that Peyton Manning could be on the way in 2021, they'll ditch everybody.
Mike, Aaron Rodgers recently said, if I retire on the team's terms, everything will be okay. But if Green Bay looks to move on before I'm ready to retire, then comes an impasse. What are the chances Aaron Rodgers is in Green Bay in 2021?
I think he's in Green Bay in 2021. I don't know that it's forever and ever. Aaron Rodgers tends to be a little bit of a prickly fellow, if you will. His coach is a guy named Matt LaFleur, who I know. Matt was with us for a year, and mm-hmm. Coach Mack and I spent a lot of time with Matt LaFleur. Matt LaFleur is the coach, okay? He's not the caddy. And some quarterbacks like for the coach to be the caddy when they get to a certain point in their career. And so I think that's the best thing that could ever happen to Aaron Rodgers, is that he have a coach like this at this stage in his career. I wouldn't be surprised if they don't really come firing back again with another really good team in Green Bay. And if Aaron Rodgers' performance doesn't continue to get stronger, because Matt LaFleur is going to have more of a balanced attack, he's going to run the football some, and I think that's going to make Aaron Rodgers at this age even more effective.
So if Rodgers throws for 4,000 yards, 26 touchdowns, 4 interceptions like he did last year, then Green Bay satisfied?
Sure. Hmm. Yeah. But now the question becomes, and I haven't taken a good look at his contract, what kind of progress do they make during the course of this year, knowing the salary cap's going to go down $23 million?
Yeah.
That's a lot of what you've got to watch in the next few days, weeks, months, because you've got to start anticipating things. Because remember this, like Juwan James has opted out in Denver, right?
Yes.
Well, Juwan James' contract tolls, means it goes to next year, all right? Well, not only does his contract, but also the prorated portion of his signing bonus tolls to next year. And that sounds great because it doesn't cost you this year. But the cap is projected to be $23 million lower next year. Did they already have somebody that they wanted to move into his spot at a certain point, or are they counting on Juwan next year, and they're saying, okay, this other guy now looks like somebody we're going to have to replace? Do teams let guys go now or not sign guys because they know they're going to need to carry over cap space to keep some of their best players in line. My point is this. Anybody with a high salary has got to be looking in the rearview mirror just a little bit right now, with the exception of Patrick Mahomes.
Vince, you got anything?
Oh, sorry, Jimmy. Yes, Mike. With the running back position with the Tennessee Titans, Derrick Henry, obviously we know he's a lead dog. Give us your thoughts on the rest of that position and some of those guys competing for the roles behind Henry at running back.
You know, it's really interesting question because the rookie that I want to see the most out of our rookie class is running back Darrington Evans from Appalachian State, our third-round pick, who ran a 4.41 at the combine, catches the ball really, really well, was an incredibly impressive kick returner and running back at App. Excited about what he's going to bring. Dalen Dawkins is in his third year out of Colorado State, and he's certainly a guy that we want to see. Interested to kind of figure out if he can establish some sort of role. Of course, we carry a fullback, Kari Blasingame from Vanderbilt. Blasingame was a tailback at Vanderbilt before he became a fullback, so you could just keep three backs. You could say we're going to keep Henry, Evans, and Blasingame, knowing that if you have to finish a game handing the ball to Blasingame, he could do it. Or does Dawkins kind of fit in there? Sonoris Perry is a veteran special teams player who also has running back skills and can perform at that level. And then Cameron Scarlett, you may know this guy from Stanford. Versatile back, had an injury, kind of got lost in the shuffle as he tried to battle back. Going to be interested to see what he's able to show in the course of training camp without the preseason games. You know, when you're an undrafted rookie, Vince, you're always rolling the rock uphill anyway. But when you're an undrafted rookie with no preseason games and you play a position like running back, it's even tougher.
I saw DeAndre Hopkins talking about the Cardinals and Kyler Murray and getting a relationship with him. What do you think about the Cardinals this year and their role in that NFC West?
Oh, I love the NFC West. Okay, so you got San Francisco, right?
Yep.
And San Francisco went to the Super Bowl, right? Well, they barely won the division. They had to stop Seattle to win the division on, what, fourth and whatever in the last game of the regular season. But then Seattle has gone out. They've had a great offseason, capped off by trading for Jamal Adams, who is going to be one of the best defensive players to play for them on a team that's had a bunch of great defensive players over the last 12, 14 years. So you got those two teams. Well, then you got the Rams. And, oh, guess what? The Rams went to the Super Bowl a couple years ago. They might have the best defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald, and they have an offense that can seemingly score from anywhere. And then you've got the college guy, Cliff Kingsbury, with Kyler Murray, with Larry Fitzgerald, with DeAndre Hopkins. All of a sudden, this is one of the most interesting divisions in football. And you ask yourself, the defending NFC champions, also the defending NFC West champions, are they the favorite in their own division? Maybe not.
Interesting. Hey, when we come back, we will have more with Mike Keith, the Tennessee Titans. I'm Jimmy Himes, joined by Vince Ferrara. Mike joining us, of course, on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. This is Sports Talk 99.1, the Sports Animal.
You want peace and quiet? Better look somewhere else. 99.1, the Sports Animal.
Welcome back to Sports Talk. I'm Jimmy Himes with Vince Ferrar. Mike Keith, our guest. He joins us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. Mike, Alex Smith, his coach Ron Rivera said he's pleasantly surprised with the progress that Smith has made and that Smith might compete for a quarterback spot. Would that shock you if he was on the roster of the Washington football team?
Yes, absolutely. What a comeback. I mean, the story about what he has done and after the injury that he had is remarkable. He was finished. Everybody knew he was finished. Medical people said he was finished. I mean, he's done. And he refused to accept it. And this is a guy, you know, I mean, you think about Alex Smith. He was the number one overall pick, and he was considered a disappointment. And then he fought back. The teams got better, and he became a leader. And then he lost his job to Colin Kaepernick, and he handled it like a champ. He went to Kansas City and taught them how to win and handed it off to Patrick Mahomes, and he handled that like a champ. And then he has this injury, and he fights back. The guy's really had a nice career. I mean, he's not a Hall of Famer, but what a professional.
Yeah.
And what does it say about him as a human being and as just a competitor in the game of life overall, to use a bad cliche? But, I mean, it really is. It's remarkable. And if he makes it, if he doesn't make it in Washington, you know, there may be a job for him out there somewhere else if he can pass a physical. Now, I don't know, you know, that's the trick, because teams, you know, P.J. Hall just got traded from Oakland to Minnesota and couldn't pass the physical there, and so he reverts to Oakland. Las Vegas, I should say. So he reverts back to the Raiders. And you wonder, you know, if Smith went somewhere else, could he pass the physical? Because he had such a devastating injury, but remarkable. Remarkable effort by this man. And his family and the medical people who work with him should be very proud.
Mike, we've seen two really good college players projected possibly as first-round draft picks withdraw from playing in college. A receiver at Minnesota, defensive back at Virginia Tech. Do you expect that number to grow to a large number, maybe even reaching double figures?
You know, that's a great question. I mean, the Caleb Fraley is a corner. He's 6'2", he's 207. He led the ACC in passes defended, had four picks. Great speed. He's coming off back surgery. So, you know, he decides to come out and also is critical of Virginia Tech and how they're going to handle things. The Bateman kid from Minnesota, a really nice receiver. He's actually originally from Tipton, Georgia. It was all Big Ten last year. In two seasons has caught 111 passes for nearly 2,000 yards and 17 touchdowns, 6'2", 210. You're talking about talented players, not surefire first rounders entering the year. Like some guys are, no matter what they do, you would figure both would benefit more by playing the season. But at the same time, you know, they're weighing it and they're saying, this is what I need to do. My sense is probably going to see some more guys do it. Yeah, especially if we get into a situation where college football ends up being delayed in any way, shape, or form.
Mike, with the Bears, are you Team Trubisky, Team Foles, or Team do something else other than throw the football?
Team Trubisky. I think Trubisky wins the job. I think Trubisky wins the job based on the fact that he's got a lot of talent, he's a good player, he's been there, but also Foles can handle being the backup. He's proven it. Can Trubisky handle being the backup? We don't know that. So I think it's going to be Trubisky for the Chicago Bears. I really do.
What do you think about the rest of the North? I mean, namely, you mentioned that we talked about the Packers and Aaron Rodgers, but the Vikings will have something to say about that division. How do you size up the North at the top?
Well, the Vikings are really talented. They were not able to do very much in this offseason, largely due to salary cap issues that they had. You know, they had to restructure the deal that they had with their quarterback, Kirk Cousins, just to give themselves a little bit of cap room so they could do anything. But they were as strapped by the salary cap as any team in the National Football League this year. I love Mike Zimmer. I love what he does on defense. I love his overall talent. I liked getting Justin Jefferson. I like taking Jeff Gladney. I think they helped themselves out wide with Jefferson and with Gladney, who's a talented physical corner. And then, you know, they went for a lot of draft picks. I mean, to get Ezra Cleveland, an offensive tackle who could help them right away. Cameron Dantzler from Mississippi State, a really good-looking corner, I think has some ability. But this is a team that really was not able to do as much in free agency as they needed to do. Keep an eye on the Detroit Lions. Keep an eye on Matthew Stafford and company. Keep an eye on that team with a general manager and a head coach who need to go fast. And, you know, to get Jeffrey Okuda and to get DeAndre Swift and to get Julian Awokra, I mean, you know, they did some good things in the draft overall. They got a pretty good team coming back in some ways. Kenny Galladay, an underrated receiver. Keep an eye on them in this situation in the NFC North.
Quick note, Matthew Stafford had a false positive. His wife was upset that the NFL released the info before confirming it 100%. Their children couldn't go to school. They were told to leave the playground. She couldn't go shopping without being stopped. Interesting there. Mike, if you would tell us what you got on the Titans podcast.
The official Titans podcast right now, a pretty good look at what's going on with the ball club and with the NFL as we are still in the acclimation period for another 6 days before we move to the next round. But things are starting to happen. It's beginning to look like football. I think that's a Christmas song. Anyway, it's beginning to...
But I like it.
It's beginning to thank you. It's beginning to feel like football again as we start to move towards some real practices next week. The other thing that we're obviously watching is what's going to happen with the opt-out period before 4 o'clock on Thursday to see if that affects the Titans or other football teams right now. We'll just have to wait and see how many guys decide that it is in their best interest not to play in 2020.
Mike, thank you so much for joining us. Really do appreciate it.
Thanks, Mike.
Thank you, guys.
Mike Keyes with the Tennessee Titans joining us on the Stanley Fencing Gates Hotline. Knox County schools will not start until August the 24th. Is that going to affect high school football games August 20 to 21? We'll discuss that when we come back. We'll also have the sports fix at 6 and other topics as well. With Vince Ferrar, I'm Jimmy Himes. You're listening to Sports Talk 99.1, The Sports Animal.